Black and White Communication in the Twin Cities. Good evening. This is RAP, and I'm Benji Mackay. A together organization of brothers and sisters from the university known as the Black Student Psychological Association recently held a two-day symposium. One of their keynote speakers was Dr. Robert Staples, professor of sociology at the University of California in San Francisco. His topic, Voices of Black Womanhood.
It's good to be here and to talk about the voices of Black womanhood and to listen to these voices and to hear what they're saying to us. And they're saying, you know, that they're becoming somewhat disenchanted with the two images they seem to have in the society. One, that of being the savior of the Black race, or on the other hand, and somewhat contradictorily, that of being the overpowering matriarch who is, you know, destroying the Black race. Even if you look at them in terms of education, you find that contrary to whites, while they have a higher median level of education than most Black males, they still have a lower median income than Black males. Even their so-called ace in the hole, employment, you find that the highest unemployment rate in this country is among Black female teenagers living in the inner city, as high as 65-70%, according to certain estimates. So it's very difficult to be the savior of the Black race, you know, if you're at the bottom, and to pull those above you, above your level, so to speak. We should deal somewhat with the Black male here. And I'd say one of the big problems with the Black male is we don't know where he is. And to a large extent, he's not here. Particularly those of us in the age category of the people of this room, their mortality rate between the ages of 15 and 30 is 10 times higher than that of white males. And more tragically, the reason they've died is, the number one reason is homicide. Number four reason today is suicide. Black males were the only sex race group in this country to actually lose some years off their life expectancy rate in the past decade. The official figures tell us that there are approximately 1 million more Black women than Black men in the society over the age of 14. And that we can expect that excess number to become even larger in the years ahead. But I've been talking just about, in general, about issues. And I mentioned again what I call kind of a role overload that Black women have to deal with, that of being worker, spiritual leader, community leader, and so forth. And if we look at the various roles that Black women play in a society, we find that not that many of them are associated with positive things. And that's not to say that positive things have not come out of them, but it is to say that she's been vilified more than she's been honored. She's been condemned more than she's been cherished. And at the same time, having to bear the brunt of this role overload. If we consider, for instance, sexuality, and it's interesting to note how their image has changed. But as far as the sexuality of Black women is concerned, we find that essentially it's still in a very healthy state. But there is a question, and again, when we hear these voices of black women speaking to us, you know, of black men allowing black women to be sexually free. But there are other roles that black women play. There's a marriage role, which unfortunately is not one of great satisfaction for many black women. And again, it's part of the pressure of being black and living in a racist society, that it has its most immediate ramification in the arena of marriage. But even more importantly is the fact that many black women are no longer getting married. And obviously the shortage of black males has a lot to do with that. But if I am reading the census data correctly, it is telling me that as of last year, of black women between the ages of 25 to 45, 51% are presently in some state of unmarriedness. That includes the separated, the widowed, the divorced, and the never married. Now that, for any of you who may not have had even elementary statistics, is the majority of black women in this country who are presently in a state of unmarriedness. I mean, it used to be, again, I'm not terribly old, but I mean, I'm in my 30s. In fact, I'm 34. So we're not talking about a long time ago when I was in school and so forth, but it just used to be you could find a, you know, a girl in high school, and you just got married, and you just basically had the same interests. You belonged to the same church. You liked the same food, and so forth. But now, you know, things have changed. Black folks have moved to the cities. They moved to the suburbs. They've taken on the values of the majority culture. And the values of the majority culture are very complex, very differentiated, very diverse. You know, and if you're looking for a mate within the black group, then you're going to find it very hard, if you've taken on certain values of the majority culture, that are going to be very hard to find. So there's a question when we look at marriage and what's going to happen in terms of people just not getting married or not staying married if they do. And of course, being single is something that is very foreign to black women until recently. I think as many as, or as few, as about 4% of black women remain single throughout their life. Yeah. And that's primarily because the society does not make it very easy to be single. I mean, there are all sort of problems in being single. The problem that for many black women who are single is that essentially they are not, in terms of the demographic forces that they face in the society, are not that likely to find an exclusive monogamous relationship. And many of them are not prepared to settle for a non-exclusive, non-monogamous or polygamous relationship. And there's the rub for many of them. But finally, we look at the black woman in the role of mother. We know that historically, this has been a role in which she has excelled. From her time in Africa, where she denied herself food in order to feed her children, the testimony of missionaries was that there is no woman can excel the African mother and her love and her sacrifice for her children. To the period of slavery, where again black women gave birth to children in the tobacco and cotton fields, who nursed them, socialized them after working from sundown to sunup to sundown, to the last 10 to 15 years, where we find that Black children are considered to be more emotionally healthy, have a greater control of their physical movements at an earlier age than children of other races, where there was very little child abuse that was ever reported in the Black community, where Black children were raised by an extended Black family that often encompassed the whole Black community. And while this is not necessarily a sign of a lack of progress, because to a certain extent it maximizes the options that Black women have in society, we do know that increasingly Black women are having abortions. Also, we find that Black women are about 3 times as likely to die, even from legal abortions, than white women. And again, that is only a small minority of Black mothers that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a majority trend. I'm only talking about what is very clearly a discernible trend. Yeah. That among Black women, they are having fewer children. College-educated Black women are not even reproducing themselves. Yeah. Because for many of us, we've been caught up in the vortex of assimilation and acculturation. And that means essentially that we're forgetting our roots. Yeah. We're forgetting from where we've come and many of the values, the traditions, and the practices that brought us through the past 100 years in this country. Many of us have forgotten the blues and the spirituals, the maids, and the cotton pickers. And as we look out at the society around us, the next 25 years are going to be crucial in our history. The next 25 years are going to determine that the struggles which we have waged in the past have all been in vain. But this is a privileged moment in our history, and we are called to face the great risk and the enormous honor defending that long line of Black martyrs and dreamers who never ceased to resist in this land and who call to us today from the grave, saying, put your hands on that plow and hold on. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Staples. Next week, on the final edition of RAP, a biographical sketch of Brother Langston Hughes. Black and white communication in the Twin Cities. This is RAP, and I'm Benji Mackay.